Hello and welcome to episode 30 of the Norton Hales Cricket Club podcast. An amazing podcast today as I have been joined by my younger brother Mike and been trying to get him to do a podcast for ages, but obviously with the self-isolation going on, the social distancing is going to be a bit more time. So stay tuned for part one today, and then we'll do one daily release. Hope everybody's staying safe. Thank you very much for everybody from the NHS. And remember, stay home, save lives. Stay tuned, have a listen to this. This is the Norton and Hales Cricket Club Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Norton and Hales Cricket Club podcast, episode 13, with special guest, no other than my younger brother, Michael. And today we're going to go through a little bit of sibling. There's a little bit of sibling rivalry in there as well, as we locked horned a couple of times back in Michael's days at Modershaw, which we'll go through a little bit later. But we'll break it down into four parts, talking about how we both got started into cricket, and finishing up with where we're both at now and how we see the league progressing and how things are going at Norton and Hales. So, good afternoon, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, good afternoon. Not too bad. Obviously, at the minute, plenty of time on my hands, so this is a welcome distraction, really.
Well, I'd say it's one of those things. I've had quite a few people contact us about wanting to do a podcast, so it's just trying to find some time because I've been pretty much given the job of completely redecorating the house. So as I'm talking, I've kind of got all sorts of decorators, cork and paint and stuff over my hands. So yeah, a bit of a welcome distraction for me at the moment. So as I put on the intro there, what we want to try and do is break into four parts and discuss kind of how we both got into cricket and how it was for us in the earlier days, and why cricket was the one thing that, from a sports point of view, that we tended to focus on. I know we both kind of dabbled with football and various other different things, but cricket seems to be the one that takes up most of our time and the thing that we both tend to agree the most upon, really. So how about yourself? How come you got started in cricket? What was your sort of entrance into the game and first sort of memories of it, really?
I suppose the first memory that I've got is when I was at Sutherland Primary School. I was walking home from school one day. I was waiting for Tom Mallor and Phil, who were obviously my best mates at school. And they never came to the gate where we usually used to meet to walk home with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I went looking for them, couldn't find them anywhere. I went to reception, and teacher said that they were at cricket practice. Now, that was my first introduction to cricket, to be honest. I'd never even, didn't even really know it was a sport. So, yeah, went out onto the playing fields, and there they were playing. I think Tom, obviously, was introduced by Chris, and he told Phil to come along. So, yeah, I just went along and watched the first practice, and then the following week I got involved, I got given the ball to just see if I could bowl it. Ran in. I think I was bowling at Tom at the time. He was obviously already had a bit of an introduction from his brothers. Ran in and the ball just swung round a corner. And you know, the teacher said, "Oh, got a natural bowler." Within a couple of weeks, I was playing cricket in the school team, really, and it just kind of evolved from there. And obviously, you know, with yourself, I knew that you were playing cricket as well, but perhaps with you being 5 years older, but, you know, at the time I would have been about eight, so I don't think when you're 13 you want to really play with your eight-year-old brother. So, yeah, my first introduction was at primary school, and then once I started playing for the primary school team, I went along with Tom to Longton Cricket Club, And started playing from there, really. So I'm pretty sure I was about 7 or 8. And soon after that, I can't remember if it was under 10s or under 11s, and, you know, going to coaching every week with Mick Womble running the setup there. And those are kind of my first memories, really. Although the first few weeks, because I was a little bit naughty, let's say, when I was 7 or 8, I spent a lot of time doing laps around Longton Cricket Club and having Mick Womble asking me if this was the sport for me. But I think after a few weeks of doing a few laps, I started towing the line and getting involved in the training sessions properly.
So apart from doing laps of Longton, which, again, I can assure you, I remember, even at the age of 10, 11, 12, 13, Longton seemed like a big ground at the time. I mean, as you look at it as an adult, it's quite small now, but those laps on a Thursday night were never any fun. But what were your sort of good memories of those days at Longton? Because I remember back when I would have been, 13, 14, 15, there'd have been 100, 120 kids either in the nets, different corners of the ground, down by the score box. It was kind of quite an impressive sight, really, even though there's a few parents that used it as a babysitting club. What were your sort of good memories of that time then?
I think the thing that comes into my mind the most, obviously, over the last, 25 years, sounds weird saying that, 25 years of being involved in cricket, I think what struck me at the time was the competitiveness, which sounds daft when there's 120 kids there, ranging from, you know, 7 to 16, it might have been a Thursday night or whenever it was, but it was just that competitiveness, and you were with a coach, you know, maybe 10, a dozen of you. And straight away, really, apart from those first few weeks when it took me a while to understand that it was quite a serious thing that they got going there, you wanted to move up to the next group with the next batch of players, and, you know, which sounds crazy to think even at that age. And that's, at the time, obviously, Longton were a really strong club in general, with first and second teams being, you know, always fighting for titles and things like that. So I think, it just definitely fed down to the kids' teams, and you did want to be the best. You wanted to, you know, within a few years, age 10, I can remember being desperate to play for Staffs and desperate to play for the South Moorlands team, just because that's what so many other people in the club did, and that was your way of saying, look, I'm one of the better players at my age group. And I think over the last 25 years, from the other clubs that I've been at, perhaps that ruthlessness, willing to win, that, you know, at kids' level, you know, it might be a bit unfair to say. I don't think it's quite there. I think there's a lot more emphasis on kids enjoying the game now, and, you know, we're hearing a lot about people leaving the game and not, you know, perhaps numbers falling off and things like that. So I think, you know, perhaps the method of coaching or whatever has changed. But definitely from a young age, winning was everything, and being the best at your age group, and, you know, opening the bowling and moving up the teams and things like that was the main focus, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's always something I can remember. I didn't really start until I was 13. And that was the first thing that struck me was, even, you know, if you'd never really had any introduction, you turned up and straight away they got an idea and plan of what they wanted to try and utilise. And I remember loads of lads from school turning up, and if you weren't taking it serious and you weren't showing a commitment to the game, it kind of, you know, it didn't really sort of work out, and they were kind of quite strict on that, probably because of the numbers that they were getting at the time. But I always found that quite endearing. You know, you knew you were part of something, you weren't just wasting your time. And I think because of the numbers, they were just making sure that it wasn't just being used as a babysitting club, and they wanted people involved and wanted to be part of that. But even on the social side, the bar was always packed on a Thursday night and different things like that as well. And you could see parents, I mean, you still see it today, obviously, if everybody's got a vested interest in their own child and different things like that, for obvious reasons, whether it be pushy parents or just generally supportive. It was always a really competitive environment to be, even, you know, from the quick cricket games to going in the net and, you know, wanting to sort of impress the sort of, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 coaches that were on show at the time, really. You probably got an introduction to under 11s a bit differently, because I think when I played under 13s, it was played without the pairs introduction, and kind of everybody's got to bowl. How did you find, looking back now, how did you find that sort of South Moorlands version of the game where you got to bat in pairs, everybody got to have a bowl? Do you feel that was a benefit at an earlier age?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a positive thing in many ways. I suppose the best thing for me at the time, I couldn't really bat. Some would say that I still couldn't, but I think at the time, I perhaps remember wanting to bowl more, and I was getting frustrated when other people were bowling. But on the flip side of that, you know, it did allow me to bat as well, and give me that opportunity to learn that side of things. So I think, you know, as I grew up a little bit, perhaps got to 11 and 12, I kind of understood why we were doing that and how you had to improve everything. The big thing at Longton was about your fielding as well. We did so much fielding work. So, you know, it's understanding that you've got to be able to offer something in most departments, really. So yeah, it definitely helped from that side of things. And then I think, like you said there, about the social side, I can remember, you know, the first month or two was quite tough because I didn't understand why they were training the way that they were. But, you know, after that, I was there, as you well know, every night of the week, really, whether that was watching one of the other teams and, you know, wishing that I was playing, or being in the nets with people on a Saturday whilst watching the first or second team, you know, having a test match in the nets and being there all day and all night, you know, and then blagging a lift off somebody back home after the game. So, you know, it was just really fond memories. You know, I probably spent 80% of my childhood at Longton, and it was just a great place full of, you know, full of really talented cricketers, but really, really decent people as well. And, you know, I've got a lot to thank a lot of people at Longton for, and especially Mick from the coaching side of things, just, you know, instilling that willingness to train and improve, really. So, yeah, it definitely helped, not just, I know you've talked about it on your other podcast, as a bit of a life lesson. It probably matured me as well, something that I probably needed at a younger age.
I think all three of us did. You know, I think back at kind of, you were saying sort of 80% of your time. It was one of those things, really, because, you know, I'm not to sort of disbelieve, but it wasn't, you know, the land of hope and opportunity. But Longton kind of gave that sort of that structure, you know, and even going back to sort of mum and dad, like, you know, you could always tell dad would always enjoy spending some time there. And, you know, sort of once mum got into it, so one of the resounding memories from the social side at Longton was the fact that on a Saturday, she admittedly had a couple of lager and lines, but mum could never understood. We'll never understand why Longton never won if they declared, and used to scream at Nidge every time I declared for kind of getting it wrong, saying, why have you declared? Because we never win if you declare, because you didn't quite understand the rules. But that was kind of the epitome of, you know, if you've finished doing something else and you didn't know where anybody was, you can guarantee mum, dad, Lucy, you, Tiff would be rolling around at the cricket club somewhere, usually sat up next to Barry's calf or something like that. But yeah, it was always fond memories from that. On that sort of point there, so you, a bit like me, because you, I went all the way through the ranks, obviously, captain under 18s there, but you kind of made a bit of a shift before the end of your under 18 period. Am I getting that right? Did you finish your under 18 season there?
So I had one season at Modershull for the under 17s as it was then, which is effectively the under 18s as it is now. So obviously, as at Longton, from the age of 7 or 8 through to 16, that was around the time that Tom got banned for the incident at Checkley. And I kind of, Tom obviously couldn't play for a year. I wouldn't say I lost my way, but I wasn't as interested in cricket. I don't know if that was a knock-on effect from that or what it was, really. I'd just got into the staff side as well, So I'd had a season. I got selected from the 15s and under 16s. I don't to this day know why, but from the under 16s, I just didn't turn up to the first game. Completely forgot it was there. I got a call from the manager, and I didn't even try. He wanted me to turn up for the next game and play, and I just said, "Look, you know, it obviously shows where my head's at if I'm not turning up for a cricket match." So yeah, I just didn't play. Second team from the age of like 13, 14, 15. I was opening the bowling for Longton second team, taking wickets, improving. But for whatever reason, this particular year, I just didn't have a great season. And, you know, a few people spoke to me about not playing second team. And I think I got dropped towards the end of the season. I just made my mind up and I thought, if, you know, if I'm not playing second team, then I'm going to leave. And then obviously yourself and Chrissy Mallow were at Wedgwood at the time, and I just thought, you know, why not? Let's go and have a different, a different experience, really. So yeah, I went to Wedgwood the following year, and because I was at Wedgwood, I decided to follow Mick Womble to Modishaw for the under 17s, and you know, I had a great time, and a great season there. Modishaw's not the best place to be bowling, or it wasn't back then. So yeah, I started opening the batting for the under 17s. I think I scored 7 or 8 50s in a row, and you know, that kind of year helped me with my batting, and I probably at that time probably become a bit more of a batting all rounder at 17, which is wasn't something I ever expected to say, I suppose, really. But I think the wickets at Modishaw, you know, were made for spin bowlers and, you know, quick bowlers that could bowl back of a length, not really pitched up swing bowlers like myself. So yeah, I just learned to play off the back foot and become a bit more of a batter, really.
I actually got a bizarre memory of that, because I remember you turning up for nets at Wedgwood, and I remember speaking to Chris Holland, and I said, "Oh, you know, because me and Chris are here, we've managed to pull your brother Mike over." And I remember you going into bat at Clayton. I hadn't seen you bat properly for, it must have been a season or so. I remember being really impressed, because as you do with anybody at Clayton, even people who are running in at 30 mile an hour, I think it's okay just running and banging it halfway down. There's quite a few people kind of doing that, and you were just sort of rocking on the back foot and sort of cope quite well, really. And it was kind of my first introduction to you sort of really working on your batting and moving on, which was kind of, you know, kind of good to see, really, especially since I know how much hard work everybody put in, both before and behind the scenes. So okay, that comes brings us to the end of part one of the Siblings podcast. When we come back in part two, we'll go into our first introduction really into sort of senior cricket, and kind of where we went to in terms of past is new, and kind of take it from there. Thanks for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, please like, share, comment wherever you see this, and I'll see you in part two.